Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. We are going to read verses 4 through 9. Romans, chapter 8, verses 4 through 9. Tonight, I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit and making decisions. The Holy Spirit and making decisions. And I think if you'll listen, if you're a boy or a girl, if you'll listen to me, preacher can help you tonight. I can keep you from making some pretty bad decisions in your life. If you're a teenager, I know this is not easy for you, but if you listen to somebody that knows a little bit more than you, they might be able to help you not have as much conflict in your life. And even some of us hard-headed adults need to pay attention as well. Amen? So, thank you, Brother Ed. All right. I know you were. All right, Romans chapter 8, we're going to start reading in verse number 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Notice that capital S, the Holy Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, tonight I want to show you how you can think and make decisions with the Holy Spirit. Maybe I could term it this way. Maybe how to make decisions with the Holy Spirit controlling your mind. How to make decisions with the Holy Spirit controlling your mind. You know, life is made up of one decision after another. When you got up this morning, some of you decided, am I going to get up now? Or am I going to hit that characterless button called snooze? Now, I'm going to tell you something here. America has ruined herself with something called a snooze button. And I don't understand. I'm not made up. If I'm going to wake up to turn an alarm off, to go back to sleep, to wake up three more times, that's stupid. Why don't you find the character in you to set it when you're supposed to get up, and when it goes off, obey it? I don't understand that. It just does not make sense to me. But I watch people use their carnal or their fleshly mind to make decisions, and they think they are spiritual. Now, listen to me very carefully. I've even seen people who have made a decision with a spiritual mind make carnal decisions later, because they think once they had a spiritual mind, every decision thereafter is spiritual. And that is not true. To be controlled by the Holy Spirit does not mean once you have it forever. Being controlled by the Holy Spirit means it is in a constant state of you yielding to the Holy Spirit. You have to be continually yielding to the Holy Spirit. Now, when you got saved, listen to this statement. You don't have to keep getting saved because the Holy Spirit regenerated you. He redeemed you. He moved inside you. And you have him forever. It's kind of like what I preach Sunday morning. But until you start lording yourself with the Holy Spirit, he cannot be your Lord. You notice in Romans 8 there, it said, for he is not subject unto God. That is a royal term. That is a lording term. Now watch this. That means I can make a spiritual decision right now. Another decision can come my way, and if I don't use the Holy Spirit, I can make a fleshly decision. Just because I made a spiritual decision there does not mean I am using a spiritual mind here to make this decision. I have to go through the same process to have a spiritual mind with each and every decision. Now, The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That means you can have the same mind and the same decision-making ability that Jesus Christ had. You say, how is that so? Because Jesus was led by the Spirit. He thought in the Spirit. You have the availability to you to have the same decision-making processes that Jesus Christ himself had by the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit was controlling the mind of our Savior. Say why? Because the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, who is Jesus, are God, which is the Father. They all agree together in one. Now, listen to me, and I will help you tonight. And I need everybody's eyeballs looking right up here. I know there's a lot of fidgeting and stuff. Just pay attention up here. This is not an earth-shattering truth here at the beginning, but you need it. Man is sinful. I know that's hard to believe. But man, and by the way, so are women. Okay, that doesn't mean just the male gender. I saw some of you ladies. Yeah, that's right, that's right. Man's sin has affected his thinking. Now, listen to this very carefully. Man, in his own sin, wants to be God. If you went all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, Satan tempted Eve and said, if you eat of this fruit, you can be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, listen to this very carefully. Man, left to himself, makes gods of himself or whatever he thinks will make him feel better. You can go to the most remote parts of our globe and people worship something. It's either a stick, a tree, a cow, a stone, some other man, a camel, lice, you name it, they worship it all. You say, why? Because man is looking for his own God. Now, by the way, man without the Holy Spirit lives wickedly. Do you ever wonder how people could use human sacrifices and think it's acceptable? Think of some of the perversion in some of the religions of the world today. Can I tell you why? That's man left to himself and man being his own God. Now, spiritual thinking is not natural to man because man is a sinner. Did you catch that? This is why Christians struggle. That's why in the book of Romans, Paul wrote, the things that I would, I do not do. And the things that I would do, I do not. The things that I would allow, I don't allow. And the things that I wouldn't allow, that I allow. And there's in me this struggle between the flesh and the spirit. By the way, that wasn't Paul saying that. That was God saying that. Now listen to me very carefully. The Christian's battle then is my fleshly thinking over my spiritual thinking. The biggest battle you face in your Christian life is, will I let the spirit dominate or will I let the flesh dominate? It's not a matter of how short or how long a lady's skirt or dress should be. It's a matter of whether you will listen to it in the spirit. Hello there, little moth. You got my attention. All right, Tony stomped. It's going to Kirsten. She can stomp it. Amen. All right, now, it's not a matter of whether you agree. You say, well, I just don't see it that way. What you're saying is you're thinking in the flesh, not the spirit. You see, it's a matter of spiritual thinking over fleshly thinking. Now, too many people use a fleshly mind to make spiritual decisions. They think that they are spiritual, but they're not letting the Holy Spirit help them make spiritual decisions. Listen to this very carefully. They look for spooky circumstances to show that their decision is spiritual. Oh, I I told the Lord if we had three visitors sit on this side of the auditorium that I would do this. And we had three visitors on that side of the auditorium, so this must be God. Okay, you're weird. That's spooky stuff. Some preachers would call that putting the fleece out, like Gideon did, and others. Now, listen to me very carefully here. That is not spiritual thinking. Well, I asked God for it, and God gave it to me. Don't you think the devil can do that too? Tonight, I want to show you how to let the Holy Spirit control your thinking and not your fleshly or your lost mind control your thinking. Now listen to me. Number one, man's carnal mind brings death. Look at Romans chapter 8 again, verse number 6. For to be carnally minded is death. Did you know, everybody look at me, that the mind and the spirit are related? The mind and the spirit are related. Because man's spirit died when he sinned. Also, man's spiritual mind died when he sinned. And a lost person thinks with a dead mind. They think in terms of death. By the way, when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, he killed his mind. Do you know what the first thing he did was? Cause conflict in his marriage. God, the woman thou gavest me, she's the one that gave it to me. It wasn't going to be a fun night at home that night. He's already blaming his wife for the wrong that took place. Why? Because his mind was dead. Ladies, I know you said that a long time ago. All right? But man, listen to this statement. Man trying to be like God destroyed his ability to be like God. Man trying to be God on his own destroyed his mind's ability to be like God. That's why man's mind is dead. Let me show you what I mean. Lost people look at death far differently than saved people do. Lost people look at death far differently than saved people do. I've been to a lot of funerals. I have been to funerals of all kinds. I don't enjoy going to someone's funeral to where the person is lost. And the majority of the people are lost. Can I tell you why? Death is very final to those people. Death is very permanent to those people. Did you know that to you and I that are saved, death is just temporary? We're looking beyond it. They can't see past death because they are lost, because their mind is lost. By the way, that's why the lost world, and pay attention here, that's why they go after these what they call the goth styles. And you have death rock. You have this big resurgent of what they call zombies. Those are dead people. That come back to life and haunt people. And you have Halloween, that is the second biggest holiday, money-making holiday in the United States of America. What is it? Look around. All you see is death. And I'm not afraid to say this. This is where vampires and things come into play. Parents, you ought to have enough sense what your kids are watching and playing with. Some of them are playing with lost death mentally. By the way, that's why video games that include so much death and violence to them. Because man is in a constant state of trying to prevent death. Or he's worshiping death. Please don't take this the wrong way. I love my grandmother. She's 96, almost 97 years old, and I pray that I've got her for several more years. But you know what? My grandma's going to die just like I'm going to die. My parents one day will pass away if the Lord doesn't come back before then. Now, I'm enjoying the relationship we have. I will miss them when they're gone. But may I say this, and I think we ought to keep people as comfortable as we can. One of the degradations of our society and our current administration is the death camps and the forgetting of old people. It's wicked. It's wicked. I'm telling you. And I'm not even going there. Say why? Because we're not in Houston, amen? But you'll catch that by slow freight. But listen to me. Listen very carefully here. The lost world does everything they can to do to keep somebody alive. I've already told my wife, I'm for you keeping this old carcass alive, but if I've got to live on a machine or be a vegetable the rest of my life, pull the plug, step on the hose, or do something. Say why? That's not living. My body may be functioning, but I won't be in it. If I'm brain dead, which won't take long, amen. But I saw the smirks coming, amen. Ellen, what are you laughing for? It'll take yours less time than mine, amen. Let's face it. You know, to me, and by the way, you may not choose to be that way. I understand. And I think as long as there's hope, you should keep somebody alive. My son Josh, when he was 4 months old, we had him on a vent for 3 weeks. Say why? There was hope. But if there comes time, you say, well, I just couldn't decide to kill that person. You're not killing them. God is the giver and taker of life. God is the giver and taker of life, not you. Did you catch that? You don't have to feel guilty over it. Brother Taylor, I remember helping you make that decision with your wife. Was it an easy decision? No, it's not. But was it the right decision? Yes, it was. You say, well, that just seems harsh when you look at it from a fleshly mind, it does, but from a spiritual mind, it doesn't. Brother Taylor's wife wouldn't come back. Say, why? She doesn't want to be around Ed Hawkins. No. No, she wouldn't come back. She'd been in heaven for 10 years. Good night. She'd been playing tag with the angels. Now, would she miss somebody here? I believe there's a little bit of that. But may I say this? We've got it harder than they do. We've got it tougher than they've got. They're not dealing with what we're dealing with. Now listen to me. Thinking in a sinful mind brings death. Brings death to a marriage. Brings death to child rearing. Brings death to your finances. It'll bring death to your job. It'll bring death to your friendships. Thinking in a sinful, fleshly, carnal mind will bring death in multiple areas. Okay, number two. And I will hurry here in a moment, but I've got to lay a pretty big foundation. To be spiritually minded equals life and peace. Now, this is the good part. Are you ready? Did you know that the Holy Spirit adds life to your mind? Did you know that the Holy Spirit adds peace to your thinking? Oh, Brother Smith, I hear people all the time, oh, I'm just looking for peace. I'm just looking for some peace. Can I tell you how to look for peace? Quit looking for it and start thinking with the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's good. Yes, sir.
You don't look for peace, you get peace. You get peace by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to make a statement here. The most spiritual people I know never say, I'm looking for peace. I never one time heard Jack Hiles say, I'm looking for peace in this decision. Not one. I never heard Dr. Robertson, Brother Ed, say, I'm looking for peace. You name the spiritual person and the most spiritual people you know, but you'll notice about them, they have a very unique peace about them. They're not looking for peace like the non-spiritual thinker is looking for peace. Can I tell you why you're looking for peace? Because you don't have the Holy Spirit to give it to you. You're not yielding to the Holy Spirit to allow Him to give you peace. Boy, that's a good statement. A spiritual mind thinks in eternal life, not physical life only. Did you catch that? We Christians can think beyond the grave. Say why? Because we have the ability to foresee a place called heaven. And we have the ability to say, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And we can look past that veil of death and say there's something beyond that. Can I tell you something? You can make every decision in life based the same way when you yield to the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm waiting till I have peace. Folks, I've made a lot of spiritual decisions by faith. We'll get into that in a minute here. But a byproduct of being led and controlled by the Spirit is the peace necessary. By the way, fleshly-minded people constantly seek for peace but cannot get it. Can I tell you why? Because you're trusting the fleshly dead mind. You're trusting a fleshly dead thinking. Hollywood is seeking for peace. The people sitting in the bar tonight are seeking peace. The people that are crackheads and meth heads are seeking peace. Everybody doing okay? Those that are trying to drown their sorrows in anything else, they're seeking peace, fornication, you name it. Spirit-filled thinking adds life, not death, to decisions. This is what I think is funny. Those of you that grew up out in the world, that made fun of people like me that grew up in church, you would say something like this. Oh, all that church stuff. Why don't you come out and really live life? No, why don't you really die life? Living in alcohol is death, not life. Yes. Living in smoking and partying and fornicating and all that other mess, that's not living, that's dying. Yes, sir. You're right. Guess what? What they're looking for, I've got, and I've got peace about it.
Right. Yep.
They don't. They call it really living. I call it really dying.
Yes, sir.
Really dying. You see, spiritually minded people see the death in sinful living. Can I tell you something? Drugs, doing illegal drugs makes no sense to a spiritual person. Why in the world do you want to be addicted to something to where it makes you look stupid? I was sitting in the parking lot the other day. I watched a couple come across the parking lot. I was waiting on my daughter. Somebody was with me, and I said, they're going to come ask me for money. They're meth heads. And the person with me said, no way. I said, just watch. They walked across one parking lot, walked right between my vehicle and another one. My window was down about that far. And the guy says, got a dollar I can borrow? I said, sorry, bud. They got halfway across the parking lot I was parked in, stopped two older folks, and the guy reached in his pocket and pulled out some change and handed it to the guy. I thought, man, he just got played up. The guy sitting in my car said, preacher, I said, you've been in the world long enough. Those are meth heads. He said, yeah, but how'd you see it from that far away? I said, trust me. He said, you even told me what they were going to say and do. I said, they're predictable. can I tell you something? Drinking alcohol doesn't make sense to me. Now, I'm one of those people that I will fight throwing up to the last second. I will lay down with my head on the pillow going to keep it from happening. I know some of you think, oh no, just get in there and blow chunks and get it out of there and you'll feel better. I have never felt better throwing up. Never. Not one time does that ever make me feel better. I fight it. Why in the world would you want to pour that poison down your throat to the point where you throw up like that? And then you're so stupid while you're doing it and out of control that you don't even know what's going on and make things worth by it. I don't understand it. While I'm on it, might as well say it. Smoking cigarettes is even stupider to me. Why do you want to suck smoke in, blow smoke out, and die of cancer? It does not make sense to me. Yep. Have you ever smelled that stuff? It stinks. And it's all it is. There's a reason they call it tar. You're sucking lit tar into your lungs. You might as well go out and pull up some of the parking lot and breathe it for a while and suck it into your lungs. It's no different. It's the same stuff. Everybody doing all right?
Yep.
Fornication, adultery, rock music, and yes, to our wonderful mayor of Houston, sodomy. Let her confiscate my sermons, amen? She won't like what she reads or hears, that's for sure. None of that makes sense to somebody that is spiritual. Some of you think, oh, why in the world could somebody do that? Because they're thinking in their fleshly mind, not their spiritual mind. They think they're really living. They're really dying. We're really living, folks. This is where it's all at. Now, I have 15 minutes to give you the last 4 points that are all related under one. How, then, do you make spirit-filled decisions? Glad you asked. Number one, you must lose your own will in the decision. You must lose your own will in the decision. About 25 months ago, 26 months ago, the Lord, through a series of events, said, Brother Bush, I want you to start a church. And I said, you're nuts. That's not what I want to do. I'm being quite honest with you. I did not want to do it. When I got to the point where I said, okay, God, it's not what I want. What do you want? He said, that's all I've been waiting on. And look what God hath done. I had to lose my will. By the way, I've even been criticized for losing my will. That's okay. Everybody knows what I didn't want to do. It had to be God then, amen? Say, oh, what about your critics? I never make a decision based on my critics. If I made a decision based on my critics, I would never make a decision. Right. Everybody doing okay? Now listen to me very carefully. You cannot make a spiritual decision as long as you have your will in the matter, because your will is your sinful flesh. Everybody doing okay? Your will is just that. Your will. Is it God's? Your decision is just that. Your decision. So you have to take you out of the equation to let the Holy Spirit tell you what is right. By the way, sometimes he'll give it back to you. Sometimes he's going to change it. Sometimes he's going to improve it. Now, your will is fleshly, even if your motive is not. Can I tell you something? Every one of us are sinful. Did you know that even sometimes the good things we do are motivated the wrong way. That's why God said, even in my flesh, there is no good thing. Hello, everybody doing all right? Sometimes you go soul winning, not because you want to. Well, I don't think you ought to ever go soul winning if you don't have the right motive. Show me that one place in the Bible. If I only went soul winning with the right motive, I probably would have never gone. So, I can't believe you said that. I'm saying it. You say why? Because it's true. There's many times I don't want to go. Say, what do? I obey and go anyway. Amazing how many people get saved when you just obey. Well, I don't think you ought to go to church if you come to church for the wrong motive. Those are liberals that are afraid of something. You come to church for whatever reason. As long as you're in the pew, I got a chance of the Holy Spirit whacking you upside the head, getting you right with God. What is a bad motive for coming to church? What's a wrong motive? Well, if you don't come to the house of God and you're totally yielded to God, then you shouldn't go. Then none of us are going to probably be here. Everybody doing all right? Quit trying to make yourself sound more spiritual than you are. You need to lord your emotion of the decision to do the right will of the Holy Spirit. You have to have control of your emotion to say, this is what I want. By the way, isn't that what Jesus did? Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. The Savior himself took himself out of the equation. Did you catch that? Even Jesus himself did that. I have to help people make decisions a lot. Can I tell you something? I don't always like them. Not the people, the decisions. I don't always like the decisions I have to make. Say why? Because I've got to put my will aside and do what God wants done. Does everybody understand that? All right. Let me, Brother Smith, come up here for a second. I may have you talk, I may not. Let's just be ready just in case. English. It's loaded. What's that?
English.
In English? Yeah, I've heard the redneck that you use. That's close enough, all right? Brother Smith and his dear family have been working with me for months on making a decision. They are going to be moving very soon to North Carolina. But listen to this. It's a spiritual decision. Not a spur-of-the-moment decision. It was a few months ago, they said, Preacher, we've been trying for almost 2 years to get away from this. By the way, they've been soul winning. They've been involved, teaching Sunday school. You name it, they've done it. Am I right? And they're always here. They've stayed involved. They didn't start drifting and then just... we're gone. Not say anything. Now watch this. He's a deacon. He cleans the baptistry. They go soul winning. He's assistant in Brother Lowther's Sunday school class. You say, what's going to happen there? You're stuck with me. I'm picking up the assistant teacher role in that one. And we're going to keep moving. He leads my singing for me. That's the one I'm ready to kick him for. Actually, I'm not. Brother Stoltz is about to kick him for it, but Brother Stoltz is going to be picking that up. Now, wait a minute. I want you to notice something. And I'm going to be as... I'm probably going to get in trouble if I say this. I'm as serious as a heart attack on a fat lady in July, all right? So here we go. I'm not God. I can't decide the will of God for Matt and Susan and their children. But can I tell you something? I'm happy for them. They have made a spiritual decision. He and I talked about it, and his wife. We talked about it. We prayed about it. We talked about it. We prayed about it. And Brother Owens didn't even know about it till they were going down there to go get a house when I told him. He didn't tell him, I did. Brother Owens said, say what? I haven't heard this. I said, I know they're doing it right. I said, I just want you to know it's coming and it's fine. huh, what was that? I had to take my will out. I had to take their will out and find out what God wanted. He came to me and said, we've been struggling over it. You're in God's will. How do we know it's God's will? And I gave them this little recipe, and this is what we followed. By the way, I love this man. I'm for this man and his dear wife. We're excited. Now, I'm sad, but I'm happy. I'm happy. You say, why? Because my friendship with Brother and Mrs. Smith is not changing, just so you know. Not at all. I'm behind it. They have done everything with a spiritual mind. Did you catch that? A spiritual mind. They made sure of everything before they did it. Thank you, Brother Smith. I didn't have you say anything, and you're glad. So, you lose your will. Can I tell you something? It wasn't my will they move. It is God's will they move. Did you catch that? If I had my way, he ain't going nowhere. That's my will. God's will is different. Number two, increase your Bible reading while seeking God's will on a decision. Increase Bible reading while seeking God's will on a decision. Can I tell you something? Most of you don't spend 1 second longer in the Bible before you make a decision. Well, I know it well enough. You don't know it that well. And the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God to give you answers. Did you catch that? 99% of what you're supposed to do is right there. Do you know that Brother and Mrs. Smith are going to continue to win souls wherever they go? They're doing the what of the will of God. You know they're going to continue to serve people wherever they go because they're doing it here. Do you know that they're going to do the right thing and live by the right principles because they're living by those principles now? It's not a matter of the where, it's the what. Did you catch that? Now listen to me. Lost people look at, I'm on the wrong page. I don't want to preach that sermon again, that part of it. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, I just can't see my way through this decision because you're looking at it in a dead, carnal mind. Illuminate it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It doesn't say that it's a sunshine. It's going to light the next step. If you cannot find it in the Bible, don't make a decision about it. Or decide that you're not going to decide until you do find it in the Bible. Brother Smith waited 2 years trying to find it in Scripture and trying to fight it and trying to lose his will in the matter. Everybody doing okay? The Holy Spirit works directly with the Bible. By the way, a light in a path or a lamp and a light don't shine very far out ahead, do they? Did you ever notice how little advance notice God gave Moses? Moses, you're going to lead my people out of bondage. Okay. You're going to get shot down 10 times. Okay. On the 10th time, he said, he's going to let you go. Now you go up, down by the Red Sea, and wait for the next decision. Okay. Lord, we got the whole Egyptian army behind us now. We're out. We got the Red Sea there, the Egyptian army over here. This ain't looking too good. It's okay. I got a path. You don't know about it yet. Moses' directions weren't very far off, were they? Too many of you want to know the end before you do it. God says you just start doing it and I'll show it to you as you go. By the way, number three. Spend much time pleading for God and the Holy Spirit to help you make the right decision. Before you make a decision, spend time pleading for God and the Holy Spirit to give you right direction.
They're going to get mad at me, Brother Matt. Brother Smith, I don't think I ever one time said, do you have peace about this, do I? Mrs. Smith, I don't think I asked you if you had peace, did I? I didn't have to. Because a spiritual mind gives peace. Here's how the average Christian, oh God, give me peace about this decision. Oh God, give me peace about the decision. No, you, oh God, help me make the right decision. In the making of the right decision, the Holy Spirit will give you peace. Quit praying for the byproduct and pray for the process. Well, I'm just going to wait till I have peace. Then you're not going to get it because you're not obeying. And that's why you don't do anything. Everybody doing all right? Opposition is usually a good sign you're doing right. I have said this for the longer than my wife and I have been married. The will of God swings on the hinge of opposition. The devil is not going to oppose somebody who's not following the right decision. He's already got them. You know that the devil's not opposing the guy at the bar tonight? He's going to oppose you. You know the devil's not going to oppose the meth head tonight? He's going to oppose you. He doesn't bother those that are already not obeying. The devil's going after those that are closest to doing the right thing. I don't have to ask Brother and Mrs. Smith. I know not everything's been smooth on this transition. I told him, I said, get ready, it's coming. It's not going to be easy. Say why? Because the will of God always faces opposition. Well, I'm just going to go as long as the doors keep opening and we'll keep going as long as it's smooth. Let me ask you a question. How smooth was it for Jesus Christ? Our Savior faced more opposition than you and I can even conceive in our head. That line of thinking is fleshly, not spiritual. The devil did everything he could to oppose our Savior. And when you are making right decisions, guess what? Opposition's going to come. Number four, set a definite time by which your decision will be made. Set a definite time by which your decision will be made. I'm probably going to make somebody mad. Do not leave decisions with an open end. Well, one day I'd like to... No, you set a date. Make that date and make your decision. Don't leave it open-ended. Say why? Because you're going to chase your tail. Be like my little pup. You get her wound up in circles long enough, she starts chasing her own tail. My daughter's got this little chew toy. Or it's a rabbit. Say, why'd you buy a rabbit? Because beagles like rabbits, amen? Bought a little rabbit, and she gets that thing chewing, and she'll... My daughter's swinging around the floor. She's going in circles, and all of a sudden, that dog finally lets go of that thing, but she still keeps going in circles, and she'll stop and bite her tail. Yeah! Okay, she found out after a couple times her teeth are sharp, amen? She doesn't do that much anymore. Now, wait a minute. Some of you are going to do the same thing. You're going to keep going in circles, going in circles, going in circles, going in circles, doing nothing but entertaining everybody else watching you run around in a circle. Well, I made my decisions, but after I made my decision, the circumstances started working out. Can I tell you something? If you made a decision, and the decision's made, you set that timeline by God, and you crossed over, circumstances beginning to work out after that, that's the devil tempting you to go back and revisit something you should not revisit. Everybody doing okay? I watch it happen all the time. I counsel pastors. I watch Brother Hiles counsel pastors. I heard Brother Hiles counsel us to counsel pastors. Set a definite time. No matter what happens after that time, stick with the decision. Everybody doing okay? Say why? Because you're going to start second guessing your decisions. Well, I wonder what would have happened if. Quit living in a what if world. Give you cute little fairy wings and a, what do you call that thing? Magic wand and spoofle dust and float around. Well, what if? What if? What if? What if will never be lived? Did you catch that? What if will never be lived? When God was dealing with me about starting Grace Baptist Church, I said, God, here's the date by which we're going to make a decision. And we made the decision. Say, have you second-guessed it? I haven't had time to look back. How about you? Some of you aren't busy enough to keep yourself from looking back. Well, what about this circumstance? I don't look at circumstances. I look at the decision that was made. Number five, and I'm done. Make your decision by faith, and don't ever go back or look back negatively. Ever. Dr. Evans used to say, don't undo and doubt what you did in faith. That's a good statement. Because I'm telling you something, the moment you make that decision, you're going to step out there and say, whoo-hoo, this is deep water. I wonder if I made the right one. Too late, you made it. Keep on swimming. Keep on swimming. Just keep on going. Don't undo in doubt what you did do in faith. Opposition is not a reason to doubt. It may be the blessing or the assurance you're going the right direction. When everything's going smooth in my life, I probably have my head turned around the wrong way. If I don't feel that wind of opposition, it's because I'm probably looking the wrong direction. Life cannot be relived. Listen to this statement. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to close. Life cannot be relived. Make what you do have God's will for your life now. You cannot go back and do it over, even if you want to. You will cause more damage trying to go back and do it over because it's impossible to go back. Well, the Bible says I should have never divorced my first spouse, so I'm going to divorce this one and go back to my first one. Brother Ed, I've had people tell me that. I said, no. The one you're married to now is God's will for your life. Stay with it and give it everything you got. I talked to a pastor friend of mine this week. He said, Brother Bush, I got a family that's come to me. They want to join my church. They've not gotten their pastor's permission, and I feel like it's an emotional decision. He said, this is what I told him. And I was so proud of him. He said, they joined anyway. He said, but this is what I told him. You're joining a good church. You're not making a spiritual decision leaving your other one. So don't leave this one the way you left that one. But if you've joined this one, make it the one you're going to stay at and make it God's will for your life. I said, you nailed it. You nailed it. Make it God's will for your life now and go forward. You see, you can never go back. And even if you could go back, everybody back there has already passed you up, so they're not there. You can't take everybody back with you to remake the decision and start life all over again. Do you know that you cannot relive this morning? Do you know you cannot relive yesterday? Do you know you can't relive supper? I might go back and eat the leftovers now that my two boys are gone. But I may be able to go back and eat leftovers, but I can't go back and eat that again. Tell you why, it's gone. Where is it? Right there. Lots of it. Let me quit. You need to quit deciding. And listen to this statement. And I want every eyeball right here. You need to quit deciding whether other people's decisions were right. Who are you to judge their decisions? Can I tell you something? None of your business if this is a right decision or a wrong decision. It's a right decision for him. Did you catch that? It's none of your business. By the way, I believe it's the right decision, Brother Matt. I do. I believe it. Ooh. Excuse me, Brother Brett. Almost threw those off. Hang on just a second here. You say, well, I don't agree. I don't... Who are you? Do you know what they went through? Whose mind are you looking through? Everybody look at me for just a second. Most of you that think that way would have never followed Moses. He failed 10 times with Pharaoh. Then he got booted out of Dodge. Then they got to the Red Sea. And the army behind them, a dark cloud behind them, and the wind starts blowing. God opened the Red Sea. They crossed over. They turned around. God closed the Red Sea. The Egyptian army went blub, blub. Less than 48 hours later, they're without water, without food. We would have been better off in Egypt, Moses. Who are you to bring us out into this wilderness to die? Judging the man of God's decision. Most of you, if you look at the life of Moses, would say Moses didn't do anything right. And most of you would look at the one bad decision Moses made and say, that wasn't that bad. Do you know what the one bad decision Moses made was? He struck the rock at Horeb the second time. Instead of speaking to it. God said that was the bad decision. Well, I just don't understand that. Because you're thinking through a fleshly mind, not a spiritual mind. Find out in the book of John that that rock was Jesus. And Jesus was only going to be smitten once. The Bible says that that rock that followed them from Horeb was Jesus. Hello. He was changing the doctrine of salvation by doing that. And God said, you're done. No promised land for you. Who are you to judge somebody else's decision? Thank you, Brother Smith. Folks, I've had people second guess my decisions for a long time. A long time. I was at a place of business this week and, One of the family members at this place has a young person who's kind of a young phenom coming up into the ranks of popularity. And I said, if you see so-and-so, tell this person I said hello. They said, oh, you know them? I said, I do. I was their principal. My wife was their teacher. You were? I said, I was. I said, I haven't seen them in years, but just tell them I said hello. Wait a minute. Do I agree with all their decisions? Not mine to judge. You know, I'm not going to judge you on your decisions. I'm going to ask you, are you spiritual enough to make this decision? Brother, Mr. Smith, first time we talked, I said, how's your walk with God? That's the first thing I asked him. I said, are you spiritual enough to make this decision? Guess what? They were. And guess what?
They made a spiritual decision. By the way, ask them. They don't like it either right now. They're about ready to kill me. This is hard. Say, are you upset? No. I'm sad. I'd be lying if I told you I'm not sad. I've had time to think about it. The more I think about it, the sadder I get. Say why? Because I love them. I love a lot of people I've said goodbye to over the years. But guess what? It's not goodbye forever. Huh. Spiritual decisions. I watch people say, oh yeah, I'm spiritual. I can make this decision. They don't go soul winning. They don't read their Bible. They're not praying. And they're telling me they're making spiritual decisions. They're lying to everybody around them. And they're making spiritual decisions. Hello. Something's not right. Thank God for this situation. And by the way, I'm not trying to be negative. I don't think we have a problem. You can ask Brother and Mrs. Smith. Everything is great between us. This is just something they have been battling. And we took time. We took the allotted time. They made their decision. And they've come to me. I've helped them in the making of the decision. And I am backing the decision. So, well, I don't see it that way. Nobody asked you. You don't have all the facts. It's like this, and I'll quit in a minute and a half. It's like this case in Ferguson, Missouri. The second black kid got shot by a police officer, an off-duty officer. They started rioting again for 2 days. Oh, he didn't have a gun. He was unarmed. Well, the news came out today. He had gunshot residue all over his hands from firing a weapon. And they found 2 or 3 weapons on him. Now you have people looting and rioting in the streets over what somebody said, not the facts. Before you jump on and become like Ferguson, Missouri, against the Smiths or anybody else that makes a spiritual decision, why don't you just let them make their decision, you make your decisions in a spiritual way, and everything's going to be okay. You don't have all the facts to know. So, well, this hurts. Okay, I know it hurts. But I've been doing this a long time. They're not leaving this earth, just so you know. At least not soon that I know of. They're not. You say, well, how come they didn't tell me? Because we felt it best not to. We felt it best to tell everybody all at once. Everybody doing all right? I said, let me help you tell everybody, and it'll go a whole lot easier and a whole lot better. I said, it's not going to feel any better, but it'll go a whole lot easier. And I said, I don't think it's good for us to tell everybody in a month ahead. Let's wait till we're a week or two out, and let's do it. And that's what we've done. So, well, I don't agree. Okay, you don't agree. You and I'll have to agree to disagree. But I happen to believe and know what's best. Let's love them. By the way, let's make our decisions that way. That is God's way to make a decision. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Some of you need to make your decisions more spiritually, not more carnally. Let's not react in our flesh, but let's react in the Spirit. Let's do things God's way.